The reading from today is from 1 Timothy, and you can find in your pew Bibles on page 965. It's the sixth chapter, beginning the sixth verse. Timothy is reminded of the confession he made at his baptism and of its implications for daily life. His priorities will be different from those of people who merely want to be rich. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those in the present age that are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Here ends the reading. Please stand.
Today's Gospel comes to us from Luke, the 16th chapter, and can be found on page 851 of your pew Bible. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and to cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' Then the rich man said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' Abraham said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.' The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. For most of this year, our gospel readings have come out of the book of Luke. we've mostly been in Luke. And Luke has a special concern for how the poor are treated and how we live with money. And we see this concern in some of our recent Gospels over the past couple of weeks, and we see it in today's reading as well. And it matches up nicely with the reading from 1 Timothy that Dave read for us, who is also thinking about what this means. How do we cope in the world with wealth? And how do we care for those who are the least of these, our brothers and sisters? And 1 Timothy ends with this line that I really like. The writer says, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The life that really is life. And I think that reminds me of elsewhere where Jesus says, I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so I'd like us to think about the life that really is life and abundant life, and think about what those two things have in common today. In today's gospel, Jesus has been talking with the Pharisees, and it says that some of the Pharisees are very rich and very concerned about their money. Not all of them, but some of them are. And kind of in response to them, Jesus tells this story of Lazarus and the rich man. And now we don't know if there really was a Lazarus and a rich man, or if this is just like a fairy tale, fictional kind of story that Jesus made up on the spot to kind of illustrate his point. We don't really know, but there are these two main characters in the story. There's Lazarus, and Lazarus is not living much of a life in this world. If the word abundant would not make sense to Lazarus, because he is pretty miserable. He's got a pretty miserable existence. He's hungry, he's homeless, he's so ill that he can't even chase away the wild dogs that are coming to lick his legs. He just doesn't have much. And for him, abundant life would look something like this. Food to eat, that would be abundant life, wouldn't it? Healthcare, that would be abundant life. A bed to sleep in, that would be abundant life. For Lazarus, because currently in this world he has none of those things. But Lazarus lays at the gate of a rich man, and the rich man has abundant life. In fact, he has a great life, you might say. He's got the finest of clothes, he's wearing stuff in purple, the most expensive color you can think of, he's wearing fine linen. And he's feasting sumptuously. I love that word, sumptuously. You know, he's not just having macaroni and cheese from the box that some of my family think is the excellent cuisine. That's Neil's favorite food in the entire universe. And I'm like, so he's not getting away with macaroni and cheese. This guy is feasting sumptuously. And it's not just one day a week that he's doing this, but it's every single day he is feasting sumptuously. And he has, obviously, a home with a gate, so that implies a level of richness there. He has a family he cares about, five brothers and their extended family as well. So he has, he's got things pretty nice in this world. But then death comes. And things in death are kind of flipped upside down in the story that Jesus tells. But one thing is the same, that in life and in death, there is this chasm, this valley that separates Lazarus and the rich man. In life, the rich man and Lazarus never really intersected. It was easy for the rich man to come and go and just not even look at Lazarus laying there in the corner by the front gate. And now in the afterlife, there is this chasm, this separation, where Lazarus has things pretty good, and the rich man does not. And he asked, the rich man asked Abraham, you know, send Lazarus over and help me. And Abraham says, no can do, no can do. The chasm is there, and it exists for a reason. And here's where I think the story kind of breaks down a little bit, and that there's some problems theologically with this story. Because Abraham says, there's no way in the world you can get, you know, that you can bridge this chasm. And Jesus is telling the story. But it's interesting because Jesus comes to close those chasms. Jesus comes to be a bridge from one side to the other side. Jesus comes to unite people that are completely different and completely opposite. And Jesus says he comes so that all may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus doesn't come just for the poor. Jesus doesn't come just for the rich. Jesus comes for all, so that all can have life and have it abundantly. And that's a theme that runs through all the New Testament. Paul talks about how in Christ we are one, that the chasm that exists between slave and free, between poor and rich, between male and female, that valley in Christ ceases to exist, that together we are all one, brothers and sisters together. And so it's interesting that here Jesus tells a story where there is a chasm and where people don't seem to be able to cross or to make that, you know, to make that journey to the other side. Because Jesus comes to bridge us together and to unite us and to remind us that we are all brothers and sisters, that we are all beloved children of God, that we all are precious. So precious that Jesus is willing to die, not just for the top 10%, not just for the bottom 10%, but Jesus comes and is willing to die for all 100% of us. And that's interesting, I think. That's interesting. And so in telling the story, I think Jesus adds that weirdness so that we kind of stand up and say, what is all that about? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't work. That's not the way Jesus works. But it's to get us to stand up and pay attention, because what Jesus is about is really a new kind of reality. It is a new way of looking at the world that sometimes takes us by surprise, and sometimes we need some practice to do that, to look at the world with the eyes of Jesus and not the eyes of the world. So help us think about that. I thought about the story of that Charles Dickens wrote, A Christmas Carol. And thankfully it's a little colder this morning, so maybe you thought it was maybe Christmas-ish, maybe sort of, hopefully not quite that fast. But in the story of Christmas Carol, the main character, Ebenezer Scrooge, what is he like at the beginning of the story or the play or the movie, whatever that movie you've seen it in? What is Ebenezer Scrooge like as the story opens?
Mean and greedy.
Mean, stingy, greedy, did I hear? Yeah. He's
self-centered,
yeah. Would you like him to be your next door neighbor? Probably not. He is focused on himself, isn't he? And getting more and more and more and more money to the point where he doesn't even keep the office because he can save money on the gas bill that way and make more money. So he's not a very nice person at the beginning of the story. But by the end of the story, after he's had all these visitations and thought through and seen all these dreams of Christmases past and Christmases to come, he changes. And by the end of the story, what is he like then?
Generous.
Yeah.
And he's happy.
He's happy, yes. He's pretty miserable before, even though he's rich, isn't he? But he's happy, yeah. Other words that describe him? Those kind of cover the gamut, don't they? And he is generous. He's sharing his money on little frivolous things that before he would be totally appalled with. But but he's happy to share, and he has become a happier person as well, because he's discovered that life is more than just accumulating money, that life is more than just accumulating riches. And when you watch the play or the movie or read the book, as the story unfolds, you're kind of cheering Ebenezer Scrooge on, aren't you, to make this change? Because you realize that at the beginning of the story, he is such a miserable person that nobody is happy in his world. I mean, everybody is miserable. And you get excited to see him figure this out and to move into this new way of living and to move into this new way of being. And in kind of the same way, today's gospel is to help us think about that. Today's gospel encourages us to think about what it means to be so stingy like the rich man, that you walk by this poor Lazarus and don't even, you know, throw him a crumb or don't even, you know, hand him a dollar. It encourages us to think about what does it mean to have life and have it abundantly. What does it mean to take hold of the life that really is life? And it's an invitation not only to think about that, but to share so that all can be blessed in some way. It's an invitation for us to think about what our passion is and to go with it and use it to help others. So I invite you today to think about what gifts you have been given and how you can use that passion, use that gift to reach out and to make a difference in the world. So if your gift is the gift of storytelling, I invite you to come and join the podcast that I try to do every week, or to teach our young people and to share your love of stories with them. If your gift is driving, that you really love to drive, well, use that gift to transport people to the doctor or to take them places where they need to go. If your gift is a gift of cooking, I invite you to think about creating a community meal that feeds parents who are stressed out after working and still have to do homework with their kids, or a meal that helps those who are cooking for one person and are just kind of lonely and need conversation to go along with their food. If your gift is the gift of baking, we've got lots of hungry kids here after school with Little Miracles, and if you were to bring cookies and sit and talk with them, that would make their day, I think. If your gift is art, why don't you establish a class here that teaches people that you can share art with? If your gift is a gift of exercise, if you've got a favorite Tai Chi or yoga or that kind of thing, why not use the building here and offer that experience to other people as well? If you love to fix things, if that's your passion, let's spread the news that you're willing to help people with a plumbing issue or that kind of thing. Or you've got a cool tool that is pretty expensive and you only used it once and probably are not going to use it again, but you'd be willing to loan it out and to share it, you know, with others so that they don't have to, you know, go to that expense to purchase it. If your gift is the gift of gardening, can we have a plant exchange here at church that's open to the community? Can you give tips on how to garden to those who are novices and who, you know, end up with no tomatoes at the end of the season? If you love politics, are you volunteering for local campaigns or for the national campaigns? If your passion is caring for those who are hungry, we've got lots of food banks in the area where you can use those gifts. And we can help you figure out how to lobby Congress to change rules about who gets what and how things are divvied out. If you're concerned about justice, if that's your passion, become a volunteer for CASA, for those kids who are in transition and foster care and need a legal representative. If your passion is being friendly, we've got lots of neighbors around St. Stephen who probably know there's a church here but don't know much about it, and we'd be happy to help you meet those neighbors and just spread the word. If your passion is prayer, we've got lots of people that need prayer and lots of people that you can pray for, and you can get the word out that if there's a prayer need to call you and contact you. If you're blessed with money, there are lots of ways in which to share that. If you're blessed with time, again, there are lots of ways in which you can share your time. And so today's gospel is really a reminder, an incentive, a call to do more with what we have been given. But yeah, it's great to have a comfortable, wonderful life. But that's what God wants for all of us, for the whole world, to have a comfortable, wonderful life. And it is our joy, it's our call to help Jesus and to help each other to get there. And as we do so, we find abundant life. We find all kinds of worthwhile things to help, to keep us focused not on ourselves, because as the gospel, as the first lesson reminds us, you can't take it with you. To keep us focused not on ourselves, but on others. And as we share, as we reach out, we are changed, just like Scrooge. We are molded and shaped, and we have exciting stories to tell and things to be rejoicing in, and ways in which we can point to God's fingerprints, to ways in which we can point to God at work. And so today's gospel is really a call, a reminder to us to be about the business of the baptized, that we who are baptized have a privilege to share God's love and to share the gifts we have been blessed with, until all people are equally blessed, until all people have heard the good news that Jesus Christ loves them, that they are precious and beloved of God, just like we are.